Around the table on Saturday sat dive fishermen, native otter hunters, and local artists who use otter pelts. And in the middle of the group was Dan Ash, the director of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. He heard stories like this one.
7 years, thinking I was going to go to prison. Because you guys told me I broke the law because I put a zipper in my coat. And I put two snaps in my hat. And for 7 years, I was scared to death.
That's Boyd Diedrichson, and he's talking about something that happened in the 1980s. Federal agents seized a parka and a hat that he had made out of sea otter pelts. Diedrichson added a metal zipper to the parka and metal snaps to the hat, and because of that, the government said it did not qualify as traditional and as a result could not be sold. A federal judge in Anchorage ended up ruling in Diedrichson's favor by saying the government misinterpreted its own rules.
You busted me 3 times on 3 things. And I won every case. It's just that it's significantly altered. I know what that means.
But Diedrichson and the others said not everyone does. He said a lot of ambiguity remains, especially when it comes to different federal agents having a different take on what counts as significantly altered in an otter pelt.
It comes up all the time because it's not clearly defined.
Mike Miller is on the Sitka Tribe of Alaska's Tribal Council. He's also on its Marine Mammal Commission.
And that causes a lot of angst because one person's interpretation from another's is going to be different.
In addition to ambiguity, some also felt that the government's enforcement methods were too heavy-handed. Wade Martin, who hunts sea otters and is also on the tribal council, said the enforcement methods are like a witch hunt and that they discourage him from hunting otter. During a break in the meeting, Ash told reporters that he understood the frustration. Changes, he said, will come, but they will come over time.
Yeah, I think there is some common ground here, and I think the key is to try to make a step forward and not try to bite off too much. And
one idea is to have a workshop on new regulations where stakeholders get together and make sure that they're clear on the meanings. Ash said it would be a good way to reach clarity on some of the government's definitions.
Significantly altered, as you heard, coastal dwelling people, mass production. There are some key terms that I think that we can bring some clarity to, and hopefully that's a step forward and a platform from which then we can build trust and strengthen our relationships and then go forward from there.
The other main area of concern at Saturday's meeting was about population. Sea otters were vanquished from southeast Alaska by fur traders in the 18th and 19th centuries. In the late 1960s, they were reintroduced. The population took off about 20 years later, and it continues to grow. Dive fishermen go for the same things otters eat. Urchins, sea cucumbers, gooey ducks, just for example. But lately, says dive fisherman Larry Traney, the otters are winning.
On the gooey ducks, it's just totally amazing to think of this gooey duck bed that can go from here to the fuel tanks over here. And you swim on that area, and you have wall-to-wall craters. It looks like a bombing range. Mm-hmm. It's just absolutely amazing that they're that active.
That otters are feasting on local shellfish is also a concern for subsistence gatherers. Again, Wade Martin from the Sitka Tribe of Alaska's Tribal Council.
Our people used to say when the tide is out, our table is set. Now when the tide is out, we have nothing but a shell bed down the bottom. We need to protect our resources.
Part of the meeting ended up closed to reporters. That's because there appeared to be some confusion on Saturday about whose meeting it was. The Fish and Wildlife Service made the visit at the request of Senator Lisa Murkowski, but Murkowski's office said it was up to Fish and Wildlife about whether the meeting was open to the public. The Sitka Tribe hosted the event at its community house, although the tribe didn't say it was the organizer of the meetings either. In the end, reporters were allowed to listen to the first part of the gathering, which was a general discussion of issues, but a subsequent conversation where individual otter hunters and craftsmen talked about their specific experiences with law enforcement was closed to news media. Afterward, Miller from the Sitka Tribe said he thought the time was well spent on Saturday and that he appreciated that Ash took time to visit and that the congressional delegation is paying attention to the issues. But he stopped short of calling it a success. That, he says, will depend on what changes, if any, come as a result. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.